Morning.
Good morning.
This is one of the times that's exciting in the church. We're going to celebrate one of our two ordinances. We have two ordinances in the Baptist Church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is an exciting time as we celebrate this morning. And I believe this is the leveling of the field. You know, the scripture teaches us if we're ashamed to confess Jesus before men, he'll be ashamed to confess us before the Father.
Right.
Now, the Lord knows how he made us. Amen?
Right.
He made introverts, and he made extroverts. And there are introverts that will never stand up in a community meeting and give their testimony. They just can't. They can hardly quote their name in front of a crowd. And so if the Lord, being a just and merciful God that we know he is, then how did he level the playing field? For us extroverts, we can tell the whole world about our Lord. My soul, I can talk to a fence post. Sometimes they talk back to me. An extrovert can talk and relay that to the world. So how did the Lord make it possible for us to confess before men the Lord Jesus? I think baptism is where he leveled the playing field. We can all come and show to the world that we have passed from death unto life, that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Miss Trula comes this morning, she's confessing to you her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She wants everyone to know that she's been saved, passed from death unto life. And so she comes this morning to be baptized. You pray for her as we proceed in our baptismal service. Okay. This is Trula Hodge. Trula, do you know in your heart that the Lord Jesus has saved you? In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Church ought to be that we'd wear out a baptistry a year.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be glorious to see us wear the baptistry out in a year?
Yeah.
Just one right after another. There's a big stone down in Charleston, South Carolina, where they used to sell slaves. And they had taken so many slaves across there and sold them that the stone has dipped out from the wear. Wouldn't it be good to wear out a baptistry?
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray that the Lord would just bless in an unusual way this morning in our worship service. Brother Tim.
Well, I'm glad he explained that about an extrovert. I always thought I was an extrovert because there's enough for me to make two people. I'm glad he explained that this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're just delighted that you're here. Welcome to Moons Creek Baptist Church as we worship together. Let's stand, fellowship, meet and greet one another. Choir, if you'll come up.
from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Drop it, call it your arms. His
this morning. Let's stand and sing that great hymn, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Sister, too.
I'm going to send my wife over to the five love languages. The only two she's learned so far is sit down and shut up. I'm gonna see if she can pick up some new stuff. It's good to have you. We went to a celebration yesterday. Our classmates celebrated 51 years since we graduated from high school, and got to see a lot of folks we hadn't seen in quite some time, and enjoyed that. Would like to have gone along with the group that went down to Dandridge and ate, and I hate to miss a meal. I don't think I'll ever gain it back, you know, lose it. It's good to have you. If you have your Bible with you this morning, and I trust you do, take your Bible and turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. Do you remember, or if you don't remember being there, you remember reading about it. It's sort of like David asked me back there a while ago. I wear waders when I baptize, so it makes expedites getting dry and out here faster. David asked me back there, come back and help me. And you know, you should preach somebody that's going to help you nice. And he said, did you ever catch any fish in those waders? I said, no, but I've caught some out of the river wearing these waders. It's awful to be a smart man. It's almost incurable. I had a game warden checking me over at Unicoi one time, and I went into the checking station and checking my deer in, and they were doing a survey, and he said, did you kill this deer out of a deer stand? I said, no, sir, I've been hunting for all my life, and I've never seen one in a deer stand. Things went south. Brother Gary McWhirter was a game warden over in Carter County. He was a deacon at Sinking Creek Baptist Church, and they asked me to come home to Sinking Creek and do a revival. I got there, and Gary was out in the vestibule, all kinds of people around him. I asked him a question. I said, I know you're off duty, and you hate to get questioned while you're off duty, but I've got a question for you. You being a game warden. And he said, what is it, preacher? And I said, why is it that turkey season is just 2 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall? I can't tell a bit of difference in the way they taste in July and August. He nearly flipped out on me. He said, you're not killing them in July and August. I said, no, aren't you supposed to? And everyone laughed, and he said this to me. He said, now, this life was on me. The next one will be on you. pray for his widow. Gary was called the Lord at cancer and had to move home to be with the Lord. And so pray for his widow, Bobby. Did you remember back when Moses was having a real time figuring out whether or not he wanted to do it God's way or his way? God asked him to go back to Israel. He was over in the land of Moab. And God asked him to go back or Egypt, and bring the children of Israel out. Now, he had left there because he had murdered
an Egyptian soldier. So he was a wanted man back in Egypt. And God said, trust me. I want you to go back, and I want you to bring your people, Israel, out of Egypt. And so after some going back and forth with the Lord, he finally said he would go. And he said, now, Lord, when I get there, how are they going to know I'm off Egypt? What did God tell him to say? When they asked you why you're here, who sent you, what was he to say? I am sent. Now there's a great theological lesson there. We could stay, we could just camp out there for a while. When God said, I am, you know what he was saying? I am everything.
That's right.
I am life. I am death. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything between A and Z. I am. When you look at creation and wonder where the little butterflies that was just a leaf-eating worm a few days before, and now it's gliding around in your yard as a beautiful butterfly, you wonder how that took place. Just remember, I am created you just like he is. When you hear the birds sing, I am. So when we get into the New Testament, it's not an accident. It's not a coincidental happening. That often, matter of fact, you ought to do a study. We may do that sometime on Wednesday night if I stay long enough. Study the I am of the New Testament. You see, when Jesus said, I am, he is claiming right there to be God. He said it so many times. He said over in John chapter 4, he said, I'm the Messiah. In chapter 6, he said, I'm the bread of life. In chapter 8 of John's gospel, he said, I'm from above. In John chapter 8 again, he said, I am the eternal one. In chapter 9, he said, I am the light of the world. John uses it on and on, over and over. And so in chapter 15 today, we're going to look at one of the I am's. And it's a great analogy. And I hope that the Lord will help you grasp this great analogy when Jesus said, I am. You know the drill, if you're able, now I know many of you have knees and hips and different ailments that you can stand. If you're able and can stand, we'd ask you to stand for the reading of the scripture in reverence for the reading of the scripture. Chapter 15, the gospel according to John, chapter 15, the first five verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Master, help us to understand this thing about abiding in you. This day, let us carry away from here a lesson, Lord, that will truly, surely change our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
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 As Jesus begins, there's something I'd like to give you about chapter 15. Seven times he uses the word fruit in this chapter. Now, nine times in chapter 15 he uses the word abide. So there's an inseparable link between abiding and fruit. I'm privileged to travel around a bit and get to see a lot of people in different churches. And I find that everybody is wanting to be fruitful. I mean, it's just a natural thing. If we're going to be the church that God intends us to be, we have the insight to know that God wants us to be fruitful people for his glory. The problem is we're having in these days is that connection, abiding. You see, when I first read this, the word that, you see, I'm the type of individual that the word of God arrests me. You know what the word arrests me. You've been taken captive. The word of God leaps right off the page and arrests me. Now, if there's anything about man that I know is this, there's just a spark of pride in us all. All of us want to be something. Amen? Very few of us want to be nothing. Amen? I wished I had taken some pictures last night. I thought we'd be over it by now. We graduated 51 years ago. But there's still some who come and put on airs. Look what I am. Well, I'm just about as goofy there as I am here. Just what you see is what you get. Amen?
Right.
Pulled out pictures and showing me their house, you know. The picture wasn't hardly big enough to get the house all in, you know. I'm somebody. Look what I have. Listen. Some of the lostest people in the world live in big houses.
Amen. That's right.
One fellow brought his brand new car, you know. Loud pipes and vibrating, and everyone said we thought it was you coming in. They wanted to show everybody this new automobile. Well, there's lost people who drive really snazzy rides. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Houses and land and possessions don't make us who God wants us to be.
Amen.
For he said, you can have all this and not abide in me and be nothing. That jumped off the page when I was a younger Christian. And that fifth verse, when he came down to that nothingness, he said, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know what nothing is, don't you? That's a zero with all the edges trimmed off.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Nothing's nothing. Something is all right, but nothing is a hard lesson in life for us to grasp. So let's look at what he's saying here in this chapter 15. He begins by telling us that he was the true vine and we were the branches. And as I pondered this, I came to several conclusions. Number one, if we're going to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, it's going to take absolute dependence upon the vine. He is the vine, and I'm the branch. Now, he's using terminology that they understood quite well. Had it not been, this was a life link. Whether you understand this or not, when Jesus was talking to them about the vine and the branch, this was a life link. You see, water was a rare and precious commodity in that country. It still is. You see, when they drill down in the ground, they think they're jet planted because up comes out of the ground is Texas tea. Oh, well, let me tell you something. You can't pray for it.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
It will not sustain life. We need water.
Amen.
And when they dig a well, they don't get clear, cool well water to get oil. Over there in that desert country, everywhere there's oil derricks sticking up out of the ground. They're pumping oil all the time. They supply a good part of the world with their oil. So they have found that the one thing that sustained them through the dry periods when there was no water was grape juice. And so they planted vineyards. All through the Old Testament, it talks about vineyards. This man's vineyard, that man's vineyard. And it was a staple of life. It was a life-giving thing. And so he's going to talk to them where they live. They knew something about grapevines. They still do. And so he said, I'm going to give you a mind picture of who you are in me. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Okay? Get the picture. He said, there's an absolute dependence. If the branch is ever going to do anything, it's got to be attached to the vine.
Amen, right.
I know today, do you remember when Bailey Smith was our president of the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 80s? Bailey left the convention, went back to his church in Kansas City and resigned. Pastor First Baptist Church, 3,000-4,000 strong on Sunday morning. He had fallen under conviction so strongly as he worked as the president of our convention that there was something really awry in our convention. He went back and resigned his church, and the church said, Pastor, what? Or do you need a sabbatical? You need some time off? We'll pay you to take some. And he said, no, I must be about the master's business. I must get across this country in Baptist churches and preach the gospel. Now you hear this. That first year on a campaign from church to church across America, he had 433 pastors saved. Not the laity, pastors. Wow, what what were they hoping to do apart from the vine? He's the light. It don't stop there. He had 680 some deacons saved.
Yeah.
And it went on. He had so many Sunday school directors saved. And he spent about 5 years going across America from Baptist church to Baptist church. And three men helped turn our convention around. Was headed for the shallow reef. We were going to bottom out if we, and Bailey Smith, Adrian Rogers, and Charles Stanley, three men burned our convention with the help of the Lord, being connected to the vine. They helped turn our convention around.
Amen.
I think we're drifting again in these days. For there's an absolute dependence upon the branch if it's going to bring forth fruit. And what's the fruit of the vine? Grapes. If the vine produces, it produces grapes. And so, if there's ever going to be a fruit bearing, that branch is absolutely dependent on staying connected to the vine.
Amen.
And so if you're here and you're trying to be fruitful and you're not directly attached to the vine, if the message is plain and simple, you need to get saved.
Right.
Not join the church. Not be baptized. Not join one of the organizations in the church. You need to come along and attach yourself to the vine. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. It's an absolute dependence. Secondly, quickly, then there needs to be an absolute restfulness. The branch, listen, the branches only can serve. There's a great lesson out there in the vineyard. The branches only can serve. He said 9 times in this chapter, abide in the vine. You abide in me and I abide in you. Everything's well. If you come untouched, I'll purge you. That means he'll trim you away, cut you off. Oh, you lose your salvation. No. If you're really saved, you're saved eternally. It's a birth experience.
Amen.
You know you can't get unborn. Are you aware of that? My dad and I had a lot of trouble as I grew up and and I went around over in Rogersville area, and I found all the tapes over there at the bank. And I said, fellas, I'm tired of being an evidence. Will you take, fellas, give me a pint of blood apiece? And I round up enough of them, and I go over to the hospital. They all donate a pint of blood, and they get enough blood to completely transfuse me, take out the Edwards blood, and put in a fake blood. Now I'm happy. I'm no longer an Edwards. There's no Edwards blood flowing through my veins. I'm a tape. Amen? There's something wrong. You know what happens? Every day, those fake blood cells die. Work themselves to death, die out, and are purged from the body. You know what's going on? Down in the marrow of my bone? Whackety, whackety, whack. More Edward blood cells being formed all the time and shooting them right out into the bloodstream. And John David, in a matter of weeks, fake blood's all gone. I'm back to being an Edwards. I can't get unborn if I try. If the sweet Holy Spirit of God birds you into His kingdom, you are birthed forever.
Amen.
You're His child forever and a day. You're His child.
Right.
But wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. I know saints sin. Sure they do. Sure they do. Some of them, a little hide panic helps them. That's what Hebrews 12 said. If you belong to me, if I love you and you belong to me, I'll chase you. I'll take you to the woodshed. You belong to me, and you go to acting like you're not family, I'll take you to the woodshed. But hear me, if you act up enough, now I've got this on good authority. You remember over in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians when we take the Lord's Supper, he said, a man ought to examine himself, look himself over real good. And he said, because some have partaken and haven't went through examination and coughed up, that means repent of the things in your life. He said, some are sick and weak among you, and some sleep. Some have died.
Amen.
Right. Ananias and his wife Sapphira died at the feet of their pastor, according to Acts. They came in and they had seen Barnabas sell a tract of ground, and everybody in the church was just patting Barnabas on the back. What a good fellow he was. God bless you. The Lord will bless you. We love you. And Ananias and Sapphira wanted some of that, so they sold the tract of ground. And it was time for her perk. So she took out some and went to the beauty parlor. I got in trouble up in Stony Creek just a few months ago. Stony Creek isn't a place you want to get drunk. I was at Stony Creek filling in for them. The pastor had left. And I was on Wednesday night and I was preaching. And I said, people, bad this lie. I said, for instance, beauty operators, they'll lie to you. And then it hit me. I thought, oh my. I bet there's a beauty operator somewhere. I said, anybody here a beauty operator? And the pianist sitting up on the front row. And I said, well, I've done stuck my foot in my mouth just well to go on with this. Do you lie? She said, no, I don't. I said, how many perms do you ever get? She said, hundreds of them. I said, well, who comes to you now? She said, my customers. I've got a clientele. I've got a whole book of regulars. What are they coming back for? And she said to me, I slipped up on her blind side. She said, get another perm. I said, if it had been permanent, she wouldn't have never needed another. Why don't you all confess that you're given temporary and hang a sign out front? We give temporary. They fall out in a week or two. And I'll tell you what she said to me in the church. You're full of it. Baptists, we all fall short.
Amen.
Of who Jesus is. You see, the scripture is very clear about that. We all sin. Well, we're saved. Well, yeah, saints sin. But we don't lose our salvation. My salvation has never
ever been dependent on who I am.
That's right.
For if it was dependent on who I am, I'd still be on a slide board towards hell.
That's right.
I can't preach enough. I can't teach enough. I can't visit enough. I can't pray enough. I can't read the word enough to be saved. Amen. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the vine.
Amen.
I'm just a branch. I was grafted in
Amen.
To the branch.
Right.
And my only job is just to stay connected to the vine. That's where the power's at. And so he said, you've got to abide in me. And so there's an absolute restfulness. If the branch has but one concern, it'll do okay. Just abide in Christ. There's an absolute fruitfulness here. He talks about it seven times about bringing. And he even said, they bring forth much fruit. Let me tell you something about bringing forth fruit. It's not hard. Yeah, why? It's in the Baptist. It's been hard for me. No. Bringing forth fruit is not hard. It's impossible. Do you hear me? I can't bring forth fruit. Not assured of being connected to the vine. That's where my power comes from, is from the vine. It's not in me. It's in the vine. I stay connected to the vine. The power flows through me. A lady told me yesterday, she said, I got in an elevator. And she said, I whispered to my husband, that man's a pastor. She said he didn't have on a necktie or a cross. He didn't have a crucifix around his neck. But there was just something about him. You ever been around somebody that you just know somehow that that's a Christian? What it is, you're in the presence of God. They're attached to the vine. The vine has taken up residency in their heart, and they've taken up residency in Jesus, and they're abiding in Christ. And you can just sense that power.
Amen.
Within myself, I can do nothing. Within yourself, you can do nothing. So there's an absolute fruitfulness if we're attached.
Right.
And it's a glorifying life. I remember being pastor in one of the communities where I was at, and I just locked on to this man. And I was bound and determined I was going to get to see this man. His first name was Bob. I was just going to see Bob saved. And Bob was pretty gruff. I mean, he was ugly with me. A couple of trips, I went to his house. He was just ugly. Talked ugly to him, acted ugly. But I wasn't going to give up. I wanted to see Bob saved. I kept going back to his house. One Thursday evening, we went to the home, sat down and read some scripture. And I thought, this is enough scripture to convert the world right here. And Bob was sitting there looking up, just an icy glare at me, staring a hole through me. And I thought, wow, I can't believe that the gospel has no more power over this man than that. And someone tapped me, my baby on the shoulder. And I looked around, and his wife was sitting over in another chair, and tears streaming down her cheeks. And she said, what about me, Bruce?
And she gloriously received Christ there in the living room floor.
Amen.
Amen.
And the next week I was going to baptize her, and Bob said, "I ain't coming to see her baptized. I was believing that stuff. I ain't coming." And he didn't. But I never gave up praying for him. But I became absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I said, "Lord, I've done everything I know to do. And from here on, I'm just turning him over to you." And within 3 weeks, he called me one afternoon and said, "I need to talk." And I went down, and Bob was laid down in the front yard.
Amen.
Amen. Got down on his knees and asked the Lord Jesus. Fruit starts coming when we start abiding in the vine and we start resting in his power, resting in his source and his alone. Then fruit will begin to appear here and there on the vine. We close with this. There's an absolute surrender. The branch has to surrender to this idea. Now this is going to get personal, so I'm going to prepare to run. Some of you are pretty accurate with songbooks. Every one of us are cut out by the Master. He didn't cookie cut us. Everybody's just like the other. You're uniquely, you're wonderfully and awesomely created by God.
That's right.
And he knew that you would need a means to propel you through life. And so some of you, he put a calling into your heart to be a school teacher, or a doctor, or a nurse, or a pastor, or an evangelist, or a dentist, or a hygienist. I mean, I was over at the doctor at my dentist's office, and it's cold, winter time, freezing outside. I asked the dentist, I was over in Elizabeth, and I said, "Doctor, did you hear about the dentist over in Johnson City over the weekend? It's been down around 8-9 degrees. Did you hear about the dentist over there?" He said, "No, what happened?" "Just as serious." I said, "His old gas burners went out." Called people and they said they couldn't get there before Tuesday or Wednesday. He went down in his basement and was clanging and beating around on the valve to see if he could get the old furnace going again. I said, "And Doc, he was down there looking at that furnace and raised up under one of those gas lines and knocked his brains out." "Oh no," I said, "yeah. He's going to have to be a hygienist the rest of his life." He said to me, "Wait just a minute." He ran out of the office and I thought, "What's he doing?" He came back with 5 hygienists. Well, one of them is the one that takes some little sharp picks and digs around in my gut. He said, "Tell them." I said, "Not on your life. You tell them." No, no. I'm smarter than that. He put the woman in my mouth with sharp instruments. He has designed every one of us to walk a different walk. Well, I wonder why he did it that way. I can tell you why. Because he wanted a witness everywhere in this world. And so he, in just a few moments, we'll scatter.
Tomorrow morning, you'll be going different directions. Some of you will be in students, some offices, some plants. I mean, you're going to go every direction. And his witnesses are out there. But our sole purpose is to not to be a dentist or a doctor or a nurse. He just allowed you those kind of gifts to propel you through life. His purpose in us. He's the vine, and I'm the branch, and his sole purpose is for Gary Edwards, no matter whether he's working in a diesel garage at Mason-Dixon or whether he's down in the community pastoring, no matter where he's at, that he will have on his mind about producing grapes. That's what I'm here for. He's left me here. Oh, sure, I can do these other things. But what he's left me here for is to produce grapes. That's fruit. Amen.
Yes.
Heads of that. My. Abide in me, and I in you, and then we can become fruit. Master, in the quietness of this moment, I plead the blood of Jesus against the devil and his demonic host. There may be somewhere in this group one that's never been attached to the vine. Oh, Master, draw them to yourself. Let them be saved this morning. Then, Father, for all your children that recognizes that we've kind of drifted apart from the vines, we must get back immediately, quickly, and reattach ourselves to the vine. That's our only hope of being absolutely attached to the vine. Thank you, Father, for the victories we've seen. And we know every one of them belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing? Would you come right now? Hurry.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.